Well, business lessons learned from the giant Netflix, secrets from the horse's mouth. I was in a DVD shop. I'm embarrassed to say, Arthur Goldsack, until fairly recently, I was one of those people who used to still go to a DVD shop. And my 10-year-old was in the DVD shop with me as they were shutting down. It was getting very depressing. And he hadn't quite realized that this was the going out of business sale going on around him. And he looked at me and he went, "I wish we had Netflix." And I said, "Yes, we're getting Netflix because this is the end of an era. Say goodbye to the DVD shop. We're never likely to set foot in one again unless it's some kind of retro shop 10 years from now that becomes trendy again." But yeah, Netflix has changed the world.
Indeed. But I have to mention that my kids would probably say, "What's a DVD, Dad?"
Yeah, but you're off the gold stack. You're the king of tech. I'm Bruce. I've still got a DVD player still plugged in.
Actually, I do still have a DVD player, and I do still, in fact, review DVDs. But I have to tell you that their kids are going to ask them, "What's a shop, Mom?"
Yeah.
Well, so technology is changing everything, but Netflix is one of the great iconic stories of how technology shifts the world. And
Is it how technology shifts the world, or is it how a frustrated individual uses technology to shift the world? I know it's semantics, but it's a different emphasis.
No, absolutely. In fact, the Netflix case study is exactly that story. But the irony is that the organization that frustrated them and resulted in them starting Netflix itself started because of frustration with the old way of doing business. So the story that I want to start with is, in fact, the story of Blockbuster, which not just rented out DVDs from a store, but rented out VHS and Betamax videos from a store. If you remember those, you're a bit young for that, Mr. Whitfield.
No. I remember people talking about it. My grandparents would often regale us with fireside chat. I don't think I ever hired a Betamax, but certainly I recall the format being available in video shops.
Indeed. But the amazing story of Netflix is built on the amazing story of Blockbuster, the amazing rise and the amazing fall of Blockbuster. So it's worth just mentioning that Blockbuster started a few centuries ago, in 1978, when a guy who was involved in database software was a bit frustrated with the process of buying a video shop franchise for his wife. And the franchise he was trying to buy was a very small local franchise, but they insisted on their own color scheme, and his wife wanted her own color scheme. So they decided to start their own store called Blockbuster. But why they decided to start their own store was because the founder, David Cook, said, "You know, this database software stuff that I'm selling to big enterprises, it could actually work amazingly well to innovate the video store industry. If we use that database software, we could carry a much bigger inventory and we could expand a lot faster as well." And that's exactly what happened. Within a few years, they opened the first Blockbuster store. It was around 1985, and less than 10 years later, they sold it to Viacom for $8.4 billion. Sure. That's how massive the opportunity was, and what a massive shift database software allowed in the business model.
But even disruptors get disrupted. I mean, you can be today's disruptor and you can do amazing things, and you can, if you don't read the tea leaves properly, you find yourself disrupted and your great idea that was worth billions last week suddenly is worth nothing anymore because you've been overtaken.
That's exactly what happened, and Blockbuster is one of the iconic stories of exactly that happening. But it really started with the business model going wrong. Let's talk about business unusual for a moment. Their real business was supposed to be the fast turnover of video titles, and through database software that managed rapid turnover of a very vast database of titles and also distribute from a warehouse very quickly to their franchises around the country and then around the world. But they very quickly realized that individuals don't like returning videos fast. So they introduced late return fees. And here they suddenly discovered business unusual. They discovered that late return fees was a massive business in itself. And eventually, it was 70% of their revenue.
What?
So they built the entire business after that around how to push late return fees. And they pushed one guy too far. a gentleman who was running also a software company, funny enough, running a company that was detecting software bugs. He rented Apollo 13 from Blockbuster, and he forgot where he put it. And he was embarrassed to ask his wife because she was going to shout at him. And he eventually fessed up. She found it for him, and he returned it 6 weeks late. And he was fined $40, which was about the cost of buying the video outright. So he was Blockbuster's perfect customer, in fact, because that's exactly what they wanted their customers to be doing. But he was also their worst nightmare because he was one of those guys who decided there has to be a better way. And the internet had emerged around that time in a big way. Amazon.com was just starting to rise very fast. And he thought, I could apply this model to videos or DVDs. And the same way that Blockbuster was sending videos out or at least issuing videos from their store, he figured they could do it from a website. And they'd be able to use online software and database software online to manage a large customer base, but far more efficiently. So that's what they began doing. And the gentleman's name was Reed Hastings. He was the founder of, the co-founder of Netflix and the CEO today. So I had the very good fortune of meeting him in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago, as well as the chief product officer, a gentleman by the name of Greg Peters. And they gave me a deep insight both into the secrets of Netflix's success, but also into their plans for Africa. And Netflix is going to go very large in South Africa and the rest of Africa.
And let's talk about that in just a moment, because the origins of Netflix aren't in a video streaming service. The origins of Netflix is in the takeaway DVD shop or the send-away DVD shop. You place your order online, somebody went and took the DVD off a shelf, stuck it into an envelope, posted it to you, you watched it, you sent it back, you ordered another one. I mean, that was the early business model, wasn't it?
Precisely. For the first 10 years, in fact, that was the business model. But they discovered something very quickly. The first few years of trying to replicate Blockbuster online, they lost so much money that they eventually went cap in hand to Blockbuster and asked them to buy them out. This is in 2000. They were $50 million in debt, and that's what they asked Blockbuster to pay them for their business. And in return, they would run the Blockbuster business online. And the meeting was held at this incredibly elaborate hotel called the Dallas Renaissance Hotel, where the Blockbuster executives used to lord it over the minions like Reed Hastings, and they literally locked him out of the hotel.
So that was Blockbuster's Kodak moment, actually, because they had an opportunity to get ahead of the trend, and they turned it down.
They had the chance. This $8.4 billion business could have paid $50 million to prevent themselves from being Netflixed. In effect,
so often transactions happen like that, though. I mean, I remember Chris DeVisa once telling us that he advised Whitey Busson to buy OK Bazaars, which was a broken business. It was owned by SAB, and Whitey Busson went off and offered a rand, and the deal was accepted, provided he took over the liabilities. And the reason they did it was to prevent Raymond Ackerman from buying the business of OK Bazaars, because they knew if Raymond Ackerman bought OK, Raymond, who at that time dominated high-end supermarketing in South Africa through Pick and Pay, would suddenly be messing about in their patch, and they didn't want that, not for a moment. And that strategy paid off handsomely, because they got the business on an even keel within a year, and the rest is history. I mean, so often these are pivotal decision-making moments for companies that either don't have the guts or don't have the foresight to do it.
I remember that story well. In fact, I worked for a while with Mervyn Cerebro, who negotiated that sale for one rand, which a lot of people found absurd, but in fact was what saved the business, but also helped to boost another business.
Absolutely. So take us through the Netflix example then. So Netflix then get rejected by Blockbuster. What do they do next?
So on the flight back to San Francisco, they were very sad because they said, not because they didn't get the money, they were sad because they realized we have to kick their ass. And the way they kicked their ass was to change their business model from you paying per DVD, they send it to you, you watch it, send it back, and then you order the next one and pay for that one. They changed it to a monthly subscription service where you could watch as much as you like, as long as you sent back the previous one, you could get the next one. And that transformed the video rental industry in the United States first and then worldwide, because that became the dominant model. But it took Blockbuster about 4 years before they realized that there was this upstart eating their lunch. By 2004, Netflix was a bigger business in terms of customer numbers than Blockbuster, still much smaller in terms of revenue. But 2004 was a pivotal moment when Netflix started rising rapidly from less than $1 billion value, and Blockbuster began plummeting from what was still then, I think, something like a $6 billion business in 2004. And Blockbuster tried to change their business model. They first dropped late return fees, and they also introduced online ordering. But the dropping of the late return fees was a huge political issue within Blockbuster, because they made so much money from it. And over the next 3 years, they lost something like $200 million to changing their policy. They claimed to drop it. They didn't entirely drop it. They just changed it to make it less punitive. But they lost $200 million just on that decision. And the CEO who had made the decision was fired, and they went back to late return fees. And the way I put that is that they went back to the STC business model. STC stands for screw the customer. And that is really what Blockbuster did for Netflix. They, in fact, committed suicide. It wasn't Netflix that killed them.
Yeah. So often companies do that to themselves. So what is Reed Hastings' plan for this continent? What's his plan for this country, for people who do have Netflix or want to get Netflix? What are the expectations?
So in the last few weeks, we saw the first Netflix original go live on South African Netflix service. And that was a show called Shadow, a superhero series, which fits in nicely with the current massive trend of building up a superhero set of franchises at Netflix, because you may know that Netflix is losing all the Marvel titles because Disney is launching its own streaming service, Disney Plus, and Disney doesn't want Netflix using its own content. Disney owns Marvel and owns Star Wars. So what does Netflix do? It starts investing heavily in superhero movies and series of its own that it owns outright. So there's no negotiation, there's no waiting for someone else to sign over the rights. And the result is that we've seen the golden age of new superheroes thanks to Netflix, but also you'll see it from other streaming services as well. So that's the one thing that they've done in South Africa. They've bought their first Netflix original, and now they're also commissioning Netflix originals for South Africa and Nigeria, for that matter. So these are the two key markets in Africa, and they're going to be investing heavily in both markets. So for content creators who have great ideas, this is going to be a golden era of a movie and series production.
Brilliant news. Arthur Goldsack, thank you. He is the managing director of Worldwide Works. What he has gleaned from the secrets from the horse's mouth on a visit to Netflix, where he met the disruptor, Reed Hastings, the guy who was frustrated with Blockbuster and founded Netflix.